Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Ja, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
As a child, I was prone to waking up suddenly in the middle of the night. I could feel the echoes of a noise that I couldn't recall. A silence that reminded me of something deafening. But there was never anything there. At first, I would simply try to return to sleep, but found myself unable to. At some point, I would roll out of my bed, pitter-patter down the hallway, and try to wake up my brother so I wouldn't be alone in the dark. No matter how loud I yelled or how hard I hit him, he would never wake up. Eventually, I would give up, crawl into bed with him, and fall back asleep myself, comforted by his presence. I was just a little kid who looked up to his older brother, and I believed that he could protect me from anything, even in his sleep. As an adult, the problem persists. However, there is no one here to comfort me now. I live on my own, no family in the area, and no girlfriend to speak of. But I still find myself waking up in the dead of night at least once a week. It is no longer to a silent sound that I can't recall, but instead to the cries of a screaming baby just one house over. I don't mind it so much. I know it must be more of a hassle for the parents than it is for me, but it can be tiresome. Instead of tossing and turning in bed, I brew myself some hot cocoa, add in just the smallest spike of Crown Royal whiskey, then make my way to my computer chair. There, I enjoy an hour or two of warm conversation on 4chan before the fuzzy feelings of sleep invite me back to my bed. When I first awoke last night, I had no reason to think that this was any other than business as usual. If the baby had been crying, I seemed to have just missed it, but it wasn't something I gave much thought to. It was a bit earlier than usual, about 2 a.m. and I stayed at my computer until almost 6. Sleep was not calling my name, but I knew if I didn't return to bed, then there wouldn't be another chance until the following night, as I had plans to meet my friend for a trip to the beach. So I crawled into my bed, pulled the covers up over me, and let myself be comforted by the waves of warmth that followed. As was typical, I found myself rolling over here and there while waiting to succumb to my tiredness. But it never came. Rolling around quickly became tossing and turning, and I found myself constantly checking my phone. Outside, the sun had still not risen, something that began to confuse me as 8 a.m. rolled around. I had to wake up in an hour or so anyway, so I figured I might as well get an early start and take a shower. Before heading into the restroom, I stopped to look out the blinds of my window, and was surprised to see there wasn't even a crack of dawn in the distance. I mused over whether or not I'd missed something important, as if I could drunkenly forget daylight savings in the dead of summer. The thought of it made me laugh. That stopped when I returned from my shower, however. It was almost 9 a.m. now, but the sun still wasn't up. I flipped open my phone with frustration and began to Google search for my time zone, thinking that my Android's internal clock had simply messed up. But the internet showed the exact same time I was seeing on my device. This led me on a hunt across the house, checking the time and every piece of technology I had. Everywhere I looked, I found the same answer, from the computer in my office to the old watch I had buried at the bottom of my junk drawer. When flipping through the channels of my television, everything seemed to still be playing late-night programming. There was no early morning news, no talk shows, and no traffic or weather reports. Instead, every station was playing classic Looney Tunes, syndicated family sitcoms, and the kind of infomercials people only witnessed when no one else is awake. I took to the internet, scouring every social media platform I could find to see if anyone else was noticing this too. Facebook had updates, those midnight thoughts of people who stayed up a bit too late. But they all ended right before I woke up. I tried replying to posts and reaching out on Messenger, but no one got back to me. They didn't even leave me unread. Next, I tried my cell phone. I started with texts, but I was too impatient to wait for a response. I began to call every single number I had, even hotlines and businesses, but no one ever answered. I left messages everywhere, begging them to talk to me, begging them to tell me what was going on. But no matter what I threw into the void, no one answered. I even placed my call to the local police station, first a non-emergency line, but then 911 when I only found an answering machine. Even there, I was greeted with an automated message, however. After hours of harassing people online and on my phone, it was now well past noon. I had checked my windows regularly to see if anyone else on the street was awake, but if they were, they never left their houses or even turned on the lights. I didn't blame them. I was scared to leave too, but at this point, I had exhausted all my other options, and so I donned my shirt, slipped on my sandals, and made my way onto the street. There is something unsettling about trying to leave your house late at night. Despite the darkness, however, this wasn't night. It was technically now afternoon, though that fact only made it more intimidating to step out into the dark. I considered bringing some sort of weapon, but going and knocking on neighbors with a crowbar in hand probably wouldn't get me invited in. I began my search two doors down, where I was on relatively good terms with the man who lived there. We were the only two on the block who lived without families, just two single men in their smaller homes with spare rooms. There was an unspoken understanding between us that we reached out to each other first when in need of anything. Most of the families surrounding us had children after all, and were less likely to have the time or resources to help. His name was Kenneth, and he had knocked on my door some months ago in the middle of the night. He had hurt his hand pretty badly and didn't think he'd be able to work the steering wheel on his own. As such, he owed me an understanding reaction for knocking on his door if he wasn't already awake. But he didn't answer the door. I tried knocking on his windows and garage before giving up, but there was no response there either. I moved on to the house between ours and immediately rang the doorbell. Again, no answer. I continued up and down the block, knocking on every door and window that I could. I gave up trying to be quiet, on trying to only alert the person in the house, but I never heard a single noise in return. Even the house next to mine returned nothing but silence when I began beating my fist against the door. I couldn't believe it. This family had an infant son who cried at all hours of the night, yet he had no reaction now. In my frustration, I began kicking around their trash cans, trying to cause some sort of commotion to get anyone's attention, but to no avail. I returned to Kenneth's house, this time ready to let myself in. His entrance was locked, but he was definitely the kind of man to forget about his back door. I let myself in, not bothering to sneak around or tiptoe, as I wanted to alert him to my presence if it turned out he was actually home. I made my way to the end of his house, fully expecting to find an empty bed in an empty room. But it wasn't empty. There he was, just sleeping in bed. His hair was a tad bit messier than usual, and it appeared he was naked, if the discarded boxer shorts on the floor were any indication. But he was there, and seemed perfectly fine. I said his name. I went from soft to shouting in a matter of seconds, unable to understand why I didn't wake him up before with all of my yelling and knocking. Even at this close proximity, he remained asleep, however. But what if he wasn't asleep? A chill ran through me as the thought entered my mind. I rushed to the side of his bed, checking for a heartbeat or trying to wake him up. I shook him, I screamed, I even tried hitting him, but nothing woke him up. His heart beat faster, and his breath became heavier, but he stayed unconscious. Even opening his eyes with my hands had no effect. I practically threw him across the room in my attempt to break him out of his slumber, but he fell without any resistance, completely limp. He was a living corpse, unable to react to anything. But was he the only one? I made my way out of his house, grabbing a spare object on my way, a frying pan that Kenneth had left on the counter. I crossed his yard directly into our neighbor's, to the family with a screaming baby that had now become silent, and began to smash at their sliding glass door with my pan to create an entrance. I needed to see the parents, the children, the dog, to see if one of them would wake up. But none of them did. The parents shared their bed, their daughters were tucked in, and just like Kenneth, I was unable to wake them. I made my way to a room at the end of the hall, one I knew must house their infant son, since he was the only one I hadn't seen yet. He had a pulse and a heartbeat, just like the others, but he stayed asleep no matter what I did. I had dark thoughts of using the frying pan to bash his head in, to dare him to move, dare him to end this insane prank that the whole town seemed to be playing on me, to cry like he did every other night. But I stopped myself. Instead, I was the one who cried. It wasn't manly, it wasn't smart, but it was what I did. I just sat there in that little boy's room and cried, not knowing what else to do. Even calling the police had just led to an answering machine. What else was there? I was all alone in the dark of night. At least, that was what I thought, before hearing a noise from behind me. I froze, equal parts excited and terrified at the prospect that someone else might be awake. I looked around, trying to figure out where it had come from. I was certain it had to be in the house. Then I heard the noise again, and a feeling of familiarity began to creep over me. It was a sound I could never describe, one that I could never remember. Yet somehow, it was one I could never forget. It was the sound that woke me up each night as a child. The sound that faded away as I returned to consciousness, leaving me to think I only imagined it in the silence. And it was in the room with me. I turned slowly to see the thing that made the sound behind me, barely visible from the shadows of the little boy's closet. It didn't look like a person, and yet it wasn't a monster either. It was impossibly tall, with arms even longer than its legs. It had to hunch to stop its head from pushing straight through the ceiling, and it smiled from ear to ear. No, that wasn't a smile. It didn't have cheeks or skin on its face. It just had teeth. Teeth that stretched from one ear to the other to make it look like it was smiling. But it wasn't. It reached across the room from the little boy's closet, its fingers finding my face from almost a foot away from its palms, and it began to search me. It touched every muscle, every pore, every cell in my skin as it explored my features as if it were blind. But it was staring right at me with its dark eyes. This was the thing that woke me up at night. The thing that woke up this little boy that made him cry out in the darkness because of what he had heard, or perhaps even seen. I could feel it in his touch, his loneliness. It had followed me throughout my life, shrieking its strange shriek in the silence that somehow only I could hear, daring me to wake up, daring me to notice him. And I finally did. Today, it got me to look him in the eyes and share in the horror of the deafening shrieks it made with its teeth somehow slammed together while it searched my face. The little boy woke up too, crying just like he did every other night. The creature in the closet turned away from me, its fingers no longer caring to explore me, and instead focused on that poor little boy. I wanted to get in the way. I wanted to yell or scream or hit this monster with a frying pan. But I just ran. I ran away from the room, from the house, from the street, and ran until I couldn't run anymore. The baby's cries suddenly stopped before I was out of earshot. I don't know why, and I don't think I want to. I just hoped it was that he was like everyone else, that he just went back to sleep. But I don't think that's how this works. It has now been over 24 hours. The sun was supposed to rise again, but I know it won't. In every house on the street I broke into, I found someone sleeping, but I didn't try to wake them up. The farther I went, the more I began to fear that this was everywhere, that this pattern of living corpses would stretch on forever. My tiredness comes and goes. Sometimes I feel like I'm on the brink of passing out, and I welcome it. Then I hear the thing shrieking in the distance, and I'm brought back to a lucid state. No matter how far away I get, I can still hear it, and it's getting closer. As I write this, I'm on the edge of town. I found an unlocked door and let myself in, needing to refresh myself with a shower and get some food. I doubt the owner will ever wake up, but in case he does, I'm writing this note for him. I wish I could write more, but I know that the creature is coming for me. I was careful sneaking in here, but no matter how far I go or how quiet I am, it does seem to find a way to catch up with me. I have decided to steal this man's key and take his car. I'm not proud of this action, but it seems to be the only way I'll be able to get to the next town over without crossing paths with that monstrosity again. I've decided to head north, to my brother's town. I do not think he'll be awake, but that has never been the case when I sought his comfort in the night. Instead, I just hope to find him asleep. Perhaps if I spend the night in his bed, I'll fall asleep as well, like I did when we were children. If this message does manage to be found, I hope its story can help others. On those nights where you awaken before the sun comes up, where you could have sworn you heard something, but find yourself surrounded only by silence, know that you aren't crazy. And whatever you do, go back to sleep. If you can. Perhaps if I spend the night in his bed, I'll fall asleep as well, like I did when we were children.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.